Rosa Roshkin is woken by hoofbeats. It is not the muffled thud of Yakov's old horse and the creak of the farm cart. She knows what it is. She lies with her eyes wide and waits for the shouts and the screams that follow the horses. When they come, she gets up and goes to the window. She has been forbidden to go to the window, but that is what she does. She looks down through the small opening, and in the light of a three-quarter moon, sees a horse spinning in the middle of the road, throwing up dust and dirt. Its rider has one hand held high, and in the hand is a streak of steel. Another rider throws himself off his horse and kicks open the door of Perla Kaplan's house. Further along the street, there are more horses, more riders, more flashes of metal. A pistol shot punctures the confusion, then a sudden whoosh of orange flame. Rosa stares at the flame and smells the burning. She steps away from the window. She goes back to her narrow bed and pulls from it the only blanket, which she wraps around her small, thin body. Then she crouches down and creeps under the bed. From where she lies, she can see underneath the second narrow bed, the bed that once was Sarah's. There is a box. She knows what is inside the box, as she has often, but only when her mother wasn't looking, pulled it out and opened it. There are ribbons and a small knitted jacket. There are two school books. There is a wooden doll in a faded blue dress, which sometimes Rosa lifts out of the box and holds against her chest. Rosa lies on her stomach with her head resting on her arm, the blanket pulled half over her head. Fluff from the blanket gets into her mouth. A cry bubbles up from directly beneath her. A man's voice, she knows, although it is strangely clotted, shouts. A boy's voice. It is Ari, and his voice has choked into a scream. The sound of something breaking. Whatever happens, Rosala, do not move. Whatever happens. That was her father. His eyes mild through his round spectacles. Stay quiet. Quiet as the mouse that hides in the woodpile. No one will find you. You will be safe. And when they have gone, you can come out into the sunlight and all will be well. He has said this many times, in a steady voice and with a slight smile. And he said it again just 2 days before when the news came from Bialystok. The words are an incantation in her head. When they have gone, you can come out into the sunlight and all will be well. Someone is climbing the steps up to the loft, boots treading heavily. It is a young man, only 19 years old, and the fingers grasping a flaring torch have blood on them. He came with the others, on a borrowed horse, because they were saying that these people were taking the work from their hands, the food from their mouths, and would murder their children. Rosa can't see the tall, fair young man with a pockmarked face, who looks through the open door at the empty beds. But the light from the torch is a shape on the floorboards. She stuffs the blanket hard against her mouth. He turns and opens the door opposite. Another small space holds two narrow empty beds. He does not know that the beds were made by Daniel Kalman, the carpenter who lives next door. He pulls a pistol from his belt and fires a bullet into each of them. He rubs the muzzle of the pistol against his thigh as he continues to stare at the empty beds. Rosa hears the shots and hears the boots descend. There are shouts from outside. The hoofbeats recede. There is a wailing cry like the howling of a distant wolf.